This is the save point. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Y'all, that's incredible.
What is good? Thank you. I appreciate that. What is good, y'all? It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But we're back. And this is episode 68 of the Save Point. Mm-hmm. I am one of your hosts, Mondo, aka Chunkletta Mangu. And I'm joined, per usual, as always, by my lovely co-host, Alyssa Rosa. What's poppin', Alyssa? How are you?
What is up? Oh my gosh, I missed this.
Yeah,
I missed
going
the song.
The motions,
I missed it.
Yeah,
it's like it's nice. It's nice. Good to be back.
Yeah,
but I'm good. How you doing?
I'm alright. I'm cool. Life's settling down a little bit, so
yeah.
Finally be able to get back to the save point and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of you may be listening, wondering where the fuck have these two been? Honestly, life's just been busy. I got a new job, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff going on. Alyssa's mm-hmm. been, you know, low key acting on the low, you know?
Yeah.
Low key doing her thing, being busy, getting that YouTube, pumping that YouTube up.
Yeah, you know.
And decided it was just a good time to take a break from the podcast.
Yeah.
Apologize for not making that clear in like the last episode, because I know the last episode was the interview with Rihanna, so.
Or Naveen, yeah.
Naveen was last?
Yeah. Okay. We did Rihanna before Naveen. Yeah. And it's like for us to end on such a high note.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I know, crazy. You know, it is, I wasn't on those episodes. That's why.
Yeah. No, you were.
Well, I was on the Rihanna one. I wasn't on the Naveen one. Sorry.
Yeah.
If you listen to this and you haven't listened to those episodes, you should probably go back and listen to those episodes. Those episodes are awesome. And shout out to Jess, who was on that Naveen episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're back. I had like a heart attack. I don't know. Damn. What are you playing, Alyssa? What you been up? What you been up to?
So when we took a break, I really took a break from everything, from gaming. but I'm actually I'm drowning in Sims 4 because they have it on the Xbox Game Pass. And so I've just been playing Sims 4. But I'll be playing another game starting next week. Yeah, it's already out, but can't really disclose what game it is because it has to do with something specific. But yeah, what are you playing?
I'm playing. You know what I'm playing. I'm playing The Last of Us right now. I know.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I said that out loud just now.
Crazy.
I'm having a good ass time. Like literally up until the second that we got on to do this, mm-hmm. I was playing. I switched my monitor input. My PS5 is on rest mode right now, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing at work earlier today because remote play is working flawlessly for my job.
Wow, that's great.
That 5G T-Mobile is no joke. Getting like 600 megabits per second, like download, which is absurd.
Wow.
It's like better than my home Wi-Fi.
But
yeah, so it's working flawlessly, and I'm using every waking moment that I can to play it because it's getting really good. Like the story is like picking up. I told you that I was shocked that I was playing a certain part, and I was like, "Oh wow, I wasn't expecting this." And that was a pleasant surprise. So I don't want to say anything for anybody who hasn't played it, but if you haven't played it,
it's been years.
Give it a chance. Yeah, give it a chance. Do the thing.
It's such a good game.
I thought I was going to be freaked out by like the clickers more, but they just end up being more of a headache than like scary or anything like that. That is really about it, to be honest with you. I wasn't really playing anything before The Last of Us. Elden Ring here and
Elden
there
Ring,
and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And a little RuneScape here and there, but been super busy, so haven't even been able to do that. I'm playing basketball. So that's
there
like,
you go.
That's been using up like my free days.
Yeah, we've been outside.
You know,
actively going outside.
World's opening up a little bit. I mean, smooth segue into some stuff that we might be playing real soon. Because I think the other reason why we haven't been playing games is because, well, there just hasn't been stuff to play. You know, like March was a good month. I'm not going to take anything away from March, but I know both of us weren't really into Ghostwire Tokyo. I know Tiny Tina's Wonderland also isn't like really like our shit, our thing. Gran Turismo, who cares? you know, shout out to people who like Gran Turismo, but
yeah,
not, you know, we're not racing simulation fans. Yeah. But On the horizon. I'm not trying to say I saw this coming.
Mm-hmm,
but that PlayStation Spartacus is coming. Well, codename Spartacus. Real name is PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
PlayStation Plus Essential, Ultra, and Premium, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
So the thing that I've been saying the PlayStation should have done a long time ago. Well, I knew it was going to take a while. I thought that they would have announced this sooner, but I feel like this also just confirms that though I was wrong about them announcing it, they were definitely working on it last fall.
Yeah.
They've been working on it for a while.
Timing.
Yeah. So they're coming out with a three-tiered subscription program. People say that it's not competition to Xbox Game Pass. It is competition. It's just not good competition. It's kind of like saying like the Jets aren't competing with like the Patriots. No, they are. They're just not good competition. And so they don't stand a chance when you put them up against one another, but they're competing.
Right.
So this was made to compete with Game Pass. I think PlayStation isn't interested in competing in that first party day one thing, which they said that, you know, they're not doing and they're not interested. It doesn't work out with the numbers, whatever. But something's coming. Regular PlayStation Plus is going to be the PlayStation Plus Essential is what we essentially get now. PlayStation Plus Ultra is coming in at $13 a month. And that has some PlayStation 4, some PlayStation 5 games. And they listed off a bunch of games that I feel like almost every PlayStation owner has. Like if you haven't played God of War, Spider-Man, I forget what other game they listed in there.
Probably like The Last of Us, right?
Yeah, I think The Last of Us 2. All games that have been on PlayStation Now too, which is kind of like, all right, whatever. I think the only game that I felt some type of way about good-wise was like, oh, okay, you guys are putting Returnal on there. That's cool.
Yeah.
But you know, they didn't name Ratchet & Clank though. Thought that was really interesting. And that game's gonna be like almost a year old by that time. Anyways, I'm ready now. How do you feel about PlayStation? Oh, and the Ultra, the Premium.
The Ultra is
coming in at, I believe, $18 a month if you're crazy enough
to play it. Yeah, I think it's a little bit higher. If it's like a $2 higher or so, $3 higher than Game Pass,
And that one's going to give you PlayStation 3, PlayStation 1, 2, and 3 games. Three games via emulator.
Some
you're going to have to stream. All of them you're going to have to stream them.
For whatever reason, they
can't figure it out, which I think is ridiculous.
Stupid.
They don't want to figure it out is what I
exactly.
What I heard. And PSP games are in there too. I think that's really interesting. Nice. And it's also going to give you demos. Which wonder what that's going to look like and what that actually means, because I can't imagine every developer making a demo for their game. And so is it that they maybe let you play a certain amount of time? Anyways, whatever. That's basically the premium tier. And those are the tiers. I think that one is $120 a year if you want to pay for it like yearly. And then the Ultra
monthly
tier is $90, if I'm not mistaken,
okay,
a year if you pay for it like yearly instead of monthly. So how do you feel? Are you interested in what they're offering? And do you think that you will subscribe to any of them?
How I feel? I do feel the way that everyone else does, that like, although it could be a jab at Xbox or Microsoft in general, I think first party still is important, just because at the end of the day, or even some third-party games, because I realistically think that that also means, like, you know, if, let's say, Harry Potter, the Legacy, whatever, it comes out, but you can get it on Game Pass, you know, day one, they won't offer the same thing, I'm assuming, including first-party. And I get it has to do with, like, they think the sales or whatever. So I wonder, truly, if they think the infrastructure as to what Game Pass is building is not actually successful, or they're too afraid to try something new. But for me, I think what will sell me on it is if I can get all of Kingdom Hearts on there. Cause I, right now I just don't want to rebuy it on my PlayStation 5. I have a digital, so it's like really hard to like play old games if I have physical copies, which I do, of Kingdom Hearts. So that's the only thing that I would do. Like if it was like in the middle tier, I wouldn't mind. To get me to do the premium would mean a lot. It'd be more than just, that's why I don't understand why first party is not included. because if first party was included in that premium tier, I think it would be well worth it. But yeah. Or at least third party games that are day one on release, that would be worth it versus me just paying for a tier. At this point in time, I currently canceled my subscription to PlayStation Plus simply because it wasn't benefiting me. Mm-hmm. I'm basically paying for Wi-Fi, and the only game I really play on there is Fortnite right now. So, and I barely play that since I'm playing The Sims. But yeah, I just don't agree with that aspect of it. But I am excited to see what comes of this, and I hope it's successful. I hope people buy into it. I hope it helps sell more PlayStations. But I am intrigued if Ratchet and Clank is going to be a part of that larger tier because it is a first their first party game. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can't even say I'm disappointed in them not doing day and date because I knew that they weren't going to do it. I do think that they're in a position where they don't have to do it. Like, you know, I could see them doing like a 6-month window, but then like Ratchet and Clank wasn't named and we're way more than 6 months out from that game having been out. Again, it's supposed to come out in June. Ratchet and Clank will be a year old in June. So a year old game isn't worth being on that service. That's interesting. And it's not like Ratchet and Clank did like crazy numbers. Like, you know, it sold like a mil. And that was kind of impressive with the 10 million. But it's also just like I got the game simply because there was no other PS5 games to get, you know, like PlayStation exclusive. So like I'm just getting it simply just to have something, you know, a reason to validate my PlayStation 5 purchase. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm interested to see what that ends up shaping up to look like. So I'm not really disappointed. It's exactly what I expected.
Right.
But I do think that push is going to come to shove eventually. And I've also said, it's not just the first party game, it's the third party games. Like, you know, like you said, like if Hogwarts comes day and date on Xbox Game Pass, who cares that it's on PlayStation? Like, I got to go spend $60 there to play the game. I don't got to pay. So 70, you're right, because I was on Amazon and it was there and it's 70 on PlayStation, 60 on everything else. And it's like,
yep,
okay, whatever. So now there's a PlayStation Premium attached to almost every game, not just PlayStation first party exclusives, which is bonkers to me.
Yeah, and I even think to bounce off of that, how crazy is it that like you buy it for 70 and then maybe like six months to a year later it's already on the service.
You might as well wait. Yeah, and so I'm interested to see what it shapes up to be. I think if there's any tier I would get, it would probably be the second tier. They really gotta hit me in the nostalgia if they want me to get that third tier, like, because nostalgia is one hell of a drug. But yeah, if they want me to do the third tier, there's gotta be some stupid fire on the third tier. And,
yeah, I would agree.
And the only thing I'm really interested in is like PS3, to be honest with you, but I don't want to stream them. Like, and don't get me wrong, like I was just advocating streaming for my fucking The Last of Us, but there is lag. Like don't get me wrong, it's incredible that I can do it, but it's not like jittery lag. It's input lag. Like it's the time it takes for my button to reach the server and back. And so like when I click, it'll go boop 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 boop. So on that second boop is when the action actually hits. And so like I'm almost like a half, like it's probably not even a half second really, but you know, for something like The Last of Us where like you know, it can get kind of crazy, dudes are rushing at you and you want to make sure you're precise, you don't have a ton of bullets. It's been a fun experience. It's been cool that I've been able to do it, but like I'm willing to play like Persona like that. I'm willing to play, you know, RPGs and stuff. Stuff that doesn't require my you know, quick reaction time and stuff. But anyways, interested to see what the third tier is, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. And then like, if we're just straight up looking at it for what it is and what it has and what the price is, it's not worth it. Like it's not worth it. If you're willing to get it because you're a PlayStation fan and like you don't have an Xbox, so Game Pass isn't even an option, I can see how this is worth it for you because you don't really have other options. But if you have an Xbox, for $120, Game Pass is leaps and bounds better than that top tier is offering. You already have back compat games. Not only do you have back compat games, but a lot of them have gotten like FPS boosts and shit like that, so they can play at 60 and up to 120 frames per second at updated resolutions and shit like that. That's insane. Like, it's almost as if like you're playing a new game. And don't get me wrong, I've played some old games and like they're hard to play a little bit, you know, like especially that
on the graphics end.
And the graphics ends, and from like even like when I was playing The Last of Us on stream, I was like, oh, this is like kind of weird, like the way the controllers are and stuff. It's just like weird PlayStation 3 era shit,
gaming.
I don't know. So like I think about that kind of stuff, and it's like, damn, you're not doing that. You're also not giving me the ability to play these games on PC. Is cloud gaming streaming games, or is that going to be me being able to access a digital library from my phone and not have to connect like via remote play? Which, because I remember I was in a Twitter Spaces one time, and I was talking about how, like, you know, Xbox has xCloud, and so somebody's rebuttal was that PlayStation has remote play. Like, you can play PlayStation games on your phone. You can, but you have to connect. Remote play is you connecting to your actual console and playing games on it. That's not what xCloud is. xCloud is me playing games off of a wherever server, wherever I want. And if someone's home and wants to play that Xbox, they can. Because I'm not remoted into the Xbox. I'm playing on my own server on my own time or whatever. And that's huge for like families and just households that have more than one gamer, which is what it is. And so like, that's where like things are like, oh, they're the same, but they're not the same.
They're not.
Like, and I just feel like Game Pass is just better. But don't get me wrong, I also didn't think PlayStation was going to come out the gate and be as good as Game Pass. Like, they don't, for them, the amount of time that they're going to have to work and, you know, get to a point where that's going to happen, you don't want to be off the market. Like, you want to get this product out there. Get it out there. Whoever's willing to pay for it, they'll pay for it. And then as the value rises, because even Game Pass wasn't, for me, the value wasn't really there. Like, year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And now I feel like the value is undeniable. But like that, it was in that weird place too. PlayStation is going to be in that weird place for a little bit, and then they're going to figure stuff out. It's not just going to be Returnal is the only PS5 game on there. The PS4 library is going to be larger, you know, and stuff like that. So maybe we're going to start getting some third party games day and date if they're not willing to do their own first party games. But the PC gaming thing is huge for me. And being able to like cloud save across and stuff like that. And I know they're not going to do that anytime soon because they're selling their own games on Steam right now. And so how's it going to look that then you can access this service you can pay for monthly to play God of War, and not just play it, but like also have your saves across PlayStation and PC in that method. But if you're playing on Steam, you can't do that. They have some weird hurdles to jump over as they like grow and expand this, but I think it's cool. I'm glad they're finally joining the party.
I would agree. It's nice that they're finally trying to address it. But I also agree, like, they have to have that third tier really has to be very enticing.
Yeah.
Like, it really has to be like third party games will be day one on certain, not all, but like we're going to put third party games day one on PS Plus, whatever it's called. Because I think that's the only way that it would drive me to get it. And it also would depend on the game. So like if I see that like Hogwarts Legacy is a part of that and it's not on Game Pass day one, I will feel more comfortable playing probably Harry Potter on my, you know, my PlayStation. Also because I have nothing to play on my PlayStation.
And it validates the purchase of it. Like, you know, you could pay $70. That $70 is now a little bit more than what half the subscription is for the year of PlayStation Premium.
Exactly.
And then that makes somebody say, oh, fuck it, I might as well just get it.
You know? Yeah, because I also think of all the people, especially with a game like that, the controversy that goes behind it too. So it's like for all those people that, you know, they want to try it out, they actually want to play it, but they can't bring themselves to paying $60 or they can't afford it. Yeah. They can't pay $70 for that game. Not everyone has the ability to do that. So it's like, if they're a part of your service, it makes it easier for them to obtain, to play your games, to, you know, be a part of the community. Yeah. But I also still think that that's what separates Xbox from PlayStation. It's like Xbox is a community of gamers and like you're in, you're encouraged to be in party chats and stuff like that. I feel like a lot of PlayStation games are first person single player games. So it's like you're more encouraged to just game on your own. I think both bring both aspects, like vice versa, but like that's just how they feel separated. And then there's Nintendo, who's like the family guy. But as we talk about PlayStation, there's, or you know, Sony in general, there's a few things that actually were delayed.
Wait, before you move on to that, you said PlayStation Plus whatever. I also just want to note the naming of this service is terrible. It's PlayStation Plus Essential, Ultra. If I'm not mistaken, it's Ultra and then Premium, which is so hard to remember. And it's like, why did you call it this? You literally could have made it PlayStation Plus Silver, Gold, Platinum, and it would have synchronized with your like what you are as a brand. This theme of the trophies and having tiers and what they mean. Dropped ball. Super dropped ball there. Anyways, continue. Delays.
They delayed a few things. I don't know if you heard, but they delayed the upcoming Miles Morales movie was pushed back to June of next year. I saw that. And then I think the second part was then pushed back even further. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But more importantly for us gamers out there, God of War may not be coming out this year. Do you want to shed some light on the statement that was put out and then your thoughts?
I mean, it wasn't a statement that said that.
Right.
But the statement is just weird. The statement was weird. Corey Barlock, I think his last name is. He was like the lead director on the 2018 God of War. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he was made a video. Very similar, not very similar, but like, you know, oh, talking to you. Hey, guys, how are y'all doing? Same way a director of Zelda came out and then told us that Zelda was delayed. Yeah. He comes out and he thanks us for like these last 4 years. He tells us stuff. You know how like people joke and be like, oh, this didn't need to be a meeting. This could have been an email.
Yeah.
His video could have been a tweet. It could have been a tweet. You didn't have to make a video. You could have thanked us in a tweet and put some cool artwork on it and stuff like that. And just, that's it. And then he mentions like the elephant in the room. I'm not going to lie to you. Everybody is wondering when this game is coming out. But I don't think that like God of War is the elephant in the room. I feel like if there's any game that is currently like anticipating, we're anticipating it coming out, that has like the good graces of the public, it is God of War. I don't think anybody's like, yo, so when's God of War gonna come out, man? Like, there's trolls online and stuff like that, don't get me wrong, but the like, I feel like the larger community of people are just like, oh, whatever, like God of War is gonna come out when it comes out, and when it comes out, it's gonna be amazing. And that just is what
it's like.
Is.
Zelda's like it's that too. Like
Zelda, I feel like people just brush that off. Like, we were disappointed to hear that it was getting delayed, but like, whatever, it's gonna be amazing when it comes out. That's all that matters. And so like, elephant in the room, I mean, like, nobody's even talking about it. I like, you know, it's weird. I guess like it's weird because I'll go on Twitter randomly, especially on a Sunday, which is weird. God of War will be trending on like random weekends and stuff like that, but that's how much love people have for the game. When you just go and like when you click on it and to see why it's trending, it's people sharing artwork, it's people sharing clips, it's just people talking about how they're playing it for the second time, third time, whatever,
first time.
And it's just, it's that kind of game. But that doesn't make it the elephant in the room. I feel like the elephant in the room is like, I don't know. I didn't like it.
It's like Cyberpunk.
I felt like he didn't need to make this statement. And I felt like making the statement made me think that that game ain't coming out this year, Alyssa. Because then it also got my wheels turning. And I said, all right, so when is it going to come out if it comes out this year? Final Fantasy 16 is supposedly getting an announcement in spring. And I'm actually expecting that game to come out this year. Yeah, right? Crazy.
Spring is almost done.
I know. Come on. I think next month, though. But
yeah, I think so, too.
But we're waiting for that. And if that game does come out this year, and that's coming out end of year, like super end of year.
They
didn't delay it until 2023. Definitely
they
not.
They didn't? I thought they delayed.
Nah. Okay. Nah. That's the elephant. If there's... an elephant in the room is Final Fantasy 16.
I expect that for the 20, like if it came out this year, I would expect that in September. I think holiday wouldn't fit. It wouldn't fit and it wouldn't work.
I don't know.
Too many JRPGs.
And because then Forspoken comes out in October, and that's Square Enix's own game.
Shit, I forgot about that game.
Yeah, they're not going to cannibalize that. They're not going to cannibalize their own game, and PlayStation's not going to cannibalize Forspoken. So then that means God of War comes out in November or December alongside Final Fantasy 16. And in my God honest opinion, I don't see them cannibalizing Final Fantasy 16 either.
I don't think the game is coming out this year.
We'll see. I know some game isn't coming out this year. And for me, somebody who, when they said 2021 for God of War Ragnarok, I immediately said,
"You knew,
no, that's not happening. That's a lie. I don't even know why they're doing that." So for a game that was never even going to come out in 2021, it was going to come out this year. If you consider pandemic delays and like Horizon was supposed to come out in September and ends up coming out in February, that's a 5-month delay, if I'm not mistaken. If God of War was supposed to come out this spring and it gets a 5-month delay, that puts it in like that early fall. I could see it maybe coming out end of the year, but I can also see it not.
Based off of that, like him being like, it wasn't really, like you said, a statement.
I'm saying like, oh, we don't have anything to show you. What do you mean? You already showed us some stuff. You don't got anything. You literally got nothing else to show us. Like, what are you talking about, my guy? You've been working on this game for 4 years.
Well, a lot of people also think that it could be a shadow drop. Like, they're pulling our leg.
Yeah, I mean, I said that too. I said that to somebody. I was like, oh, you imagine a God of War shadow drop? That'd be interesting. But I don't know. That's so unlike Sony, too. Like, if like a company I expect to shadow drop something is like Microsoft. That's it. Like, Nintendo doesn't even shadow drop. Nintendo maybe lets you know like 3 months in advance. Like, hey, this is dropping in 3 months.
Unless you're Xenoblade. And that's it. If it's Xenoblade, they'll shadow drop that shit. They'll be like, oh, we just got this shit in the bag. Here you go.
But I think it would be really difficult to shadow drop a game like God of War. Just because there's so much process that it would have to go through, and leaks would happen. There's just no way you'd be able to, like, you know, gold stamp it, send it to print, and like make all the discs and stuff like that, and like us never find that out. That'd be some shit. I'd be very impressed because I talked about that. It'd be really awesome if a game like shadow dropped, you know. I just think that with having physical games, it's like damn near impossible. I think I said that about Grand Theft Auto 6. Like, if there's a game that could ever shadow drop out of the sky and everyone would just go and run to their console and buy it, is Grand Theft Auto 6.
100%.
So I would love them to try it, but I just think as somebody who wants a physical copy,
I don't think it's possible.
I just, like, somebody's going to leak that. Somebody's going to be like, yo, they're shadow dropping God of Grand Theft Auto, and they're going to, you know, take pictures of the case and all that stuff. It's a shame for
retailers.
That.
Yeah, retailer wise, there's no NDAs that you have to sign when you're a retailer.
Unless Grand Theft Auto's like, yo, we shadow dropping today, and physical copies will be in stores like next month. And then what are we going to do? I'm not waiting until next month, bro. Like, I'm buying that shit today.
I'm sure how many people bought it for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S again, GTA 5. Yeah. When the remaster came out.
But yeah, what do you think about God? Because I know I tweeted that and you were like,
Well, initially you were the one that said it was going to get delayed, but something in me tells me it's not coming out this year either. It was similarly to how I felt about Zelda. I think there's like a midway point we get to where you can kind of feel out when a game is going to come and isn't going to come. Mm-hmm. I still think obviously there's opportunity for that. Like, I don't full force push into the God of War Ragnarok not coming out this year, but I genuinely felt that way about Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, which is just like may not even be the real name of the game. But I knew with Horizon, and it's just when there's no actual release window, let alone, you know, like literally a window or a date to that window, I start to think, okay, production may not be where they want it to be. So for me, I've never played it, but I think the same way that you do, where it's like there's no pressure there for them to release it versus like Final Fantasy 16, there's pressure there. Mainly it's insane. But mainly because there's like a lineup to things, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's that, and in order for that to release, you know that then Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 will happen. And then for people who are like me, Kingdom Hearts, that means Kingdom Hearts 4 will be on time. So it's like certain things for certain companies that make sense. I think my biggest question for Sony or PlayStation specifically is like, if Forspoken is the only first party game you have to offer this year, what's going on at the end of the day? Like,
we don't know anything about what's coming. Like, we don't know anything about next year.
Not forget next year. We don't even know what's coming within the next 6 months. We don't know what's coming in the summer.
Yeah.
Even for the summer, what are you giving us at the end of the day? Because obviously we don't know if Redfall's coming out this summer, but essentially that's when it was supposed to be released. Again, I don't mind if that game is delayed, just because like I have zero expectations of it because it's brand new, you know. But for Sony, it really is like what's coming this year, let alone we can't even get to next year if we haven't addressed this year. So it is very interesting for God of War fans. I hope you're not too upset by that statement. That was not really a statement. But I also agree, like there was so much that you showed us, and maybe that's why there's so much that they showed us in that first initial trailer, that like what could they possibly show us that would, one, not ruin the story, or two, could shock us in that factor, because there's a lot of stuff to live up to. Because like even with the Horizon trailers last year, it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. It's the same game. It's just part two.
Yeah.
They could have wowed us a little bit more with Horizon. And I'm sure people bought it and had a great time with the game. Like, I wouldn't know because Elden Ring took over, but I don't know. God of War, my instinct is telling me it may not come out this year, but I don't lose hope on it either. It could also come out this year.
Yeah, I lost hope. But if it comes out this year, that'd be awesome. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's just, you know what I thought about it when I saw the video? When I used to work in sales in T-Mobile, they used to tell us, whenever you're not helping a customer, like if you're busy with one customer and there's somebody waiting, you know, waiting for your help, or whatever, you want to check in on that person on average every 7 minutes. So it's on average, people are willing to wait for service or something like that for 7 minutes before needing to be checked in on again and just be acknowledged that they exist. And that, like, you know, you'd work in, you'd be right with them. I feel like this was that 7 minute check in. That's all this was. And because you're not showing us anything next month. I know that. Because if you were, you wouldn't have done this. This was, we're polishing level 3. What the fuck are you even talking about, my guy? You're not showing us anything next month. So now, I have no hopes that you're showing us anything God of War related until June, when like it's like E3 season and stuff like that. And now, if you don't see God of War in E3, or like, you know, it's not going to be at E3, but like, you know, at PlayStation Showcase in June, we got a problem. Mayday, mayday. Hit the eject button. Something's going on.
Summer Games Fest.
Yeah, Summer Games Fest. Jeff Keighley.
Jeff Keighley would be the one to, I think.
Yeah, finesse that. Because, like, I don't know. I feel like, again, the way they're, like, in people's good graces, they didn't even acknowledge that that game got delayed out of 2021. We just got so close to the end of 2021, and everybody was like, oh, I guess God of War's not coming out. And that's it. And then they went to the next year, and they, like, mentioned it in, like, a paragraph in a blog post that was about Horizon. But they like mentioned Gran Turismo and God of War in there very briefly or whatever, and talked about how they were going to also be PS4 games and release in 2022. And I was like, wow, that's how y'all like acknowledged this big ass lie that you told us when you first showed the teaser, because everybody and their mother knew that game wasn't coming out in 2021. But I don't know. Kind of nuts.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't mind the delay because I got mad shit to play. So
at least you do. I've freaked myself a little bit until you know the time comes, because this month actually was the 20th year anniversary, or at least this year, but it was this month, we celebrated Kingdom Hearts. So us fans got really lucky last week. I still can't believe it's real. They announced two new games, Kingdom Hearts Missing Link, which is a mobile game, another mobile game. Sort of like, it looks like Pokemon Go. Yeah. It looks like Pokemon Go. And it takes place, if I can remember, between like Dark Road and like another games, another, the mobile games. It takes place in between two mobile games. And yeah, that's cool, but let's just like, whatever. Everybody doesn't really care about that game. But it is a main storyline game. So yeah, you're going to want to like, if you care about the story, pay attention to it. Kingdom Hearts 4 was announced this year at the 20th anniversary event in Shibuya in Japan. I'm just like at a loss for words, so I'm gonna let you go first and tell me what you think about everything, like Sora's feet, Sora's hair.
I was gonna say my son got regular sized feet now.
When do you think we're gonna get this game?
I think I saw somebody tweet that this was like, oh, this is probably going to come out in 2023 or something like that. And I was like, nah, you bugging. This is 2024. 25? 25.
I would say
what is what I really expect. But like 2024 would be on the super early end of that game coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you said earlier, I think Final Fantasy VII Remake comes out before Kingdom Hearts 4. And I know, I know that we haven't gotten a trailer for that game. Mm-hmm. But... oh man, I can't even say Final Fantasy as an entire franchise is bigger than Kingdom Hearts, in my opinion.
100%. No, I think that's
seven as a standalone, I can't say that, even though it feels like it's the majority favorite of like the Final Fantasy fan base. I think people are feverish for that game. We were bluntly surprised to see this Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer. You know what I mean? People were hoping, like you were hoping and praying, 20th year anniversary. Like what are the chances? Yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 2025. Cause I think Final Fantasy VII is 24, part two. Okay. I think that's coming out in 24. So like for me, Kingdom Hearts is 25. But yeah, I think it looks incredible. And I know that that's probably like mostly a render, like a rendered cutscene. That's why it looks so amazing. But I think it's interesting because, yeah, it might be a rendering, but I also don't think that the real game is going to be too far off from that. Like Real Engine 5
gonna be better.
Looks absolutely stunning, and games already look stunning on the PS5, and we're only in the first 2 years. Like we know what those like. That's another thing. Like I don't even want Kingdom Hearts 4 to come out in 23. Like I need them to take time. Polish that bad boy. Bring that shit out in 25 towards the later half, you know, the second half of a PS5 life cycle, and give us the best graphics that we can get. Like, you know, like start showing us. I can see that being one of the like games that brings in that second half of the generation. We're like, oh, the devs have had time. You know what I mean? The devs have had time. They're making PS5 games now. That's the kind of game I want Kingdom Hearts 4 to look like. And that's the kind of game it looks like it's going to be. My guy's flying through the city, doing his thing.
How do you feel about the tonal difference from like it being obviously like mostly surrounded by like cartoony, very lighthearted, like this seems like a little bit darker. Real
world, darker and stuff. Yeah, I like that because I think it would be safe to say that Kingdom Hearts was geared toward a younger fan base when it first came out, surrounded by Disney characters, the art style. But that fan base is older now. And like this, it's kind of something I always think about with Pokemon. Like, yeah, I get that Pokemon's a kid game, but like, where's the acknowledgement that a large portion of your fan base has grown up? You know what I mean? And they still love this game. And so like, where do you balance catering the game for a young audience, but also growing it up so that the fan base who made that game what it is continues playing it and loves it and enjoys it because it's growing with them. I get that feel of it, you know, like with the vibe change and stuff. Has any game been, have they been rated teen before?
No, they're all no, been E. Yeah, yeah. I so think like, that also comes with like language and yeah. it being violent, because essentially it's not super violent because yeah. they don't actually bleed or anything.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can't see bleeding or anything like that. But
yeah, no.
But I mean, there's interesting theories of like, are they moving into Final Fantasy like worlds? Because I know that that's been a thing as they've moved further, just further and further away from the Disney, Disney being such a main part of the story and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know I've heard some, like my cousin's a huge Kingdom Hearts fan, yeah. and he's told me that, you know, like maybe the next worlds are going to be like Final Fantasy worlds, that like that's mm-hmm. something that people have thought about. But yeah, those are my thoughts on it. I'm looking forward to it. I showed yeah. you, I'm about to get the whole collection for $10,
right? So, yeah, insane. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so yeah, looking forward to playing the ones I haven't played, because I haven't played any of them except the mainline ones, the 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. And that's yeah. what I mean by mainline. DS yes. and PSP and mobile.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a very convoluted story at the end of the day, so I don't blame you. Yeah, I'm still in shock that Kingdom Hearts 4 is happening. I just feel like it was just yesterday that we got Kingdom Hearts 3. Mm-hmm. And I still look at Kingdom Hearts 3 and think, wow, what a terrible time in my life until the DLC came. I just felt like that game was rushed mm-hmm. because they gave us the full story and a DLC, which like I wouldn't have mind waiting for another year. But I also get it, because it was like 13 plus years since the second installment mm-hmm. of the game, like mainline. And I even had to explain that to some people, because they were just like, oh, it better come out in, like you said, 23 or 24. Realistically, I give it 25 to 26. Mm-hmm. And that's only because of knowing the production line of games getting pushed back by Square when they continue to announce things. And also Nomura. Like at the end of the day, he's the one who writes the story. He's the one who's really in charge of both Kingdom Hearts 4 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake and other Final Fantasy games as well. Personally, I'm so excited. I love Sora's new look, his new hair specifically. I know a lot of people don't like it. I love that his feet are normal sized. The fighting in the game looks mature, mm-hmm. in my opinion, and it showcases a different. It showcases what this arc is going to be. For those who don't know, Nomura actually wasn't going to call it Kingdom Hearts 4. He was going to call it something else. But he felt like if he teetered off from the name too much, people wouldn't recognize it and think it's like a whole new thing. I would have preferred a new name to keep the saga separate from Xehanort's story. Mm-hmm. And I love the tonal difference. I love how dark it is and that he's in Quadratum, which is essentially like a made-up world that's inside of, like, it's a video game world basically that he's in, and essentially he looks the way he does because of the world. Like if he were to go to Toy Story or if he were to go to Lion King,
yeah,
he always adapts. It's clear that the Disney aspect can't be removed because Disney owns Kingdom Hearts and Square Enix is just the publisher, the one that develops it and pushes it out. So to see Donald and Goofy at the end of that trailer and the assumption that it's Hades, mm-hmm. you know, I don't mind it if like there's only a few Disney worlds we end up going back to, which are always frequent in each game. So like Olympus or like Winnie the Pooh, I don't mind. But I really hope that we push away from it, at least that Kingdom Hearts becomes its own thing yeah. outside of Final Fantasy and outside of Disney. And that we get more Kingdom Hearts related worlds at the end of the day. Because I don't know if you know, but Riku's a character based off of a character from Final Fantasy, actually. But he's a girl instead of a boy.
No, in the Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, in the Final Fantasy world, he's like a female version. Like, there's a female version.
He's based off of actual Riku, like Final Fantasy X Riku.
Possibly, I don't know which Final Fantasy, but I just know like the version that he's in. He's a girl. He's not a boy in this game. He's a boy.
Yeah, Riku in Final Fantasy X is a girl.
Yeah.
First
so there's
came
that.
Out, I mean, the first Kingdom Hearts came out not too long after that, actually.
Yeah, and so I also know that Nomura was working on a Final Fantasy game that got canned.
Yeah.
And essentially, it seems as if all his inspiration from that game is what Kingdom Hearts 4 may be. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe, again, that we got this. It was my hope.
On a Sunday. Like, I woke up on a Sunday like, what the fuck? There's no
such
way.
Such a random. Yeah. So with that announcement, I'm excited. And it only leaves me hopeful that next month for Persona's event, they announce Persona 6. And I'll be solid. Yeah. That's just my take on Kingdom Hearts 4. I love it. I'm excited.
Now that I expanded my storage on my PS5, I have Persona 5 installed. Yes. So
you may want to start
that. And yeah, you know, I don't want to buy it. I don't want to buy it. So I'm just going to play Persona 5.
I get it. I do think it's worth the money, but I do think that's based off of taste. And like, if you like it, you like it. If you don't.
Yeah. It's also my first Persona game. So I want to try it out. See how I like it.
Man,
speaking of new releases, though, old releases, of old titles, Just Set Radio and Crazy Taxi reboots might be coming. Ooh. And I know that we didn't put this in here, but they might also get movies.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Which is insane. Movies or TV shows? Movies, I think.
I don't know if both of them will, but I know... I think it was Crazy Taxi. I may be wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah. But then you sent me something about rumors of like a Jet Set Radio show coming. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to like reboot the franchises, give them life and stuff. There's news that Jet Set Radio and Crazy Taxi are going to get reboots soon, which is, man, Dreamcast days, man. Such an underrated console. You know, fans were in a frenzy when the news hit because... You know, with all the woes coming from Sega over the past few years, you know, the arcade closing and all that stuff, it's actually kind of awesome to see them still be on their feet, you know, and still be doing stuff. I think we're going to get into it a little later, but like Sonic has like an entire collection coming out and stuff. So they're really doing a thing, and they're working on some super games, super titles. I forget what they call them exactly, but... Apparently, they're working on some pretty big games. We'll see what that ends up being. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Are you a fan of either... I know Crazy Taxi is like the bigger of the two. I feel like Jet Set Radio is more of like a cult classic sort of title. But yeah, what do you think?
I'm excited, obviously, for Crazy Taxi, because I played that. I had a Dreamcast when I was a kid. I was lucky enough to experience that console. And I'm really excited for that. Never got the opportunity to play Just Set Radio, though. So, and which is oddly funny, because I love skater game. I love games like that. Like, very much looking forward to Skate 4, right? When it comes out and stuff like that. I love Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Love SSX Tricky. So, I still hope that maybe someday we can get it on, like, Game Pass or something. Yeah, I'm excited. I heard that there's like probably going to be like a new twist to the games, especially like Crazy Taxi. People were, at least the kind of funny people were talking about how it could be like a battle royale. That would be cool to have.
Free to play or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's cool for them to get a reboot, but I also think it would be awesome for the classic games to get a remaster. And we play them before, you know, we play the new ones. Yeah. So, yeah. How do you feel about it?
I love it. I actually own a Sega collection on Steam that has both these games. Jet Set Radio, I put hundreds of hours into Jet Set Radio. I love Jet Set Radio. Such a good game. The music in that game, revolutionary. That's why I still got to get this hoodie, actually. I always keep saying this, but Danny has a Gamertag Radio hoodie where, like, Gamertag Radio is done in the Jet Set Radio, like, style, our style. Mm-hmm. Fire. So fire. And he's a huge Jet Set Radio fan. But, yeah, who doesn't love Crazy Taxi? I feel like so many games were built off of the inspiration of Crazy Taxi. I don't know. I'm excited. Updated graphic. For Jet Set Radio, like, that's amazing. I don't know, that game was fun, man. Chasing people, the graffiti, the music, like, hit home, really did.
Classic.
And on a super underrated console. I don't even feel like it's underrated, because I feel like everyone who ever had one only has good things to say about it. But like you said, like, had to be lucky to even experience it, because there were so many people who didn't have one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else to say on it?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Shout out to Danny, because I know he is a big fan of it. Also, congrats on your wedding this weekend.
Oh my God, so. Yes. Yeah. Oh, shout out to Danny and Rihanna.
Yeah. That's our little babies are getting married.
Oh my God. Look, really awesome stuff. Really awesome stuff. Yeah. Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. Literally love is in the air, because I don't know about y'all, but I think I want more Sonic. Do you want more Sonic?
I do want more Sonic.
Well, you're lucky, because, you know, I thought all we were getting was Sonic 2, the movie, which
I still haven't watched it.
Insane experience. I don't think anybody's...
I had to go watch Everything Everywhere All at Once again.
Which is also another good movie. Yeah. You know, we're out here. Everybody's out here winning. But yeah, Sega announced that Sonic Origins will be arriving June 23rd. But unfortunately, it will only be digital. There will not be any physical copies, but it will be available on all platforms.
Terrible.
So that's also amazing. But the cool part about this game is that you can play through the entire thing as Sonic, Tails, or Knuckles, whoever you choose to be, which is like probably the first time I've ever heard that you're able to do this. Yep. Mm-hmm. So super cool. As we know, there is another Sonic game coming out, I believe, this year, which is like the first one since Sonic Forces.
Man, it looks like it could be a 3D adventure type Sonic game.
Yeah. Hopefully I can play it and not get motion sickness. But I want to know, are you getting this game? Are you excited for this? And when are you going to watch Sonic 2?
When am I going to watch Sonic 2? not this weekend. Maybe next week.
Because I definitely
want to watch it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm not particularly interested. I have a Sonic collection on the Switch that has a lot of this stuff. The one reason I would ever buy this is so that I could play through all the levels as Knuckles. And like that's it.
Everybody's
famous. Yo, he's a fucking man. Like
he's not Knuckles. My
favorite. He's awesome.
He's awesome though.
For me, it's actually Knuckles, then Tails, then Sonic.
It's Shadow, then Knuckles. No, Shadow, then Tails.
I mean, Shadow's different. Shadow's number one. Shadow's in a league of his own. You know, it's different. but yeah. I'd have to get this on like a really good sale if I'm gonna get this.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason. That's the only thing enticing me to do it. And digital only, you lost me.
Yeah.
You lost me. You know me. You know
for those Switch players.
Yeah. But yeah, those are my thoughts on it. You know. I think it's cool that they're doing it though. But I found it interesting that if you look at that chart that they made of like all the versions and which games it has and stuff like that. There isn't a version that has everything. It was really interesting. I thought that was interesting when I was looking at the chart. I was like, so wait, there isn't one that checks all the boxes? Like, there's one that checks them all except one. And I just think it's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird. Interesting. I'm personally probably not going to get this. I've never been like a big Sonic player. I view it as like Kirby. Like I would just, if there was nothing to play, I would play them. Mm-hmm. I'm also just more interested in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game that's coming out this year.
Man.
Did you see that the collector's thing came out? And it's like $150. I was like, if I was a TMNT fan, but I'm not. I really only like Donatello.
That collection is fire though.
It looks amazing. It's at Best Buy for anybody that wants to get it. At least like it's selling at Best Buy right now. But I don't think that I will, but I do like the concept of being able to play as whoever you want throughout the whole thing. If Shadow was a part of this,
I would get it. Yeah, immediately. Right?
I would totally get it. But he's not a part of it, unfortunately. But I get it because Sonic, the second Sonic movie is basically about Tails, Sonic, and Knuckles, which is really cute. I've already seen it, so I don't have to see it again. I don't know that I'll ever watch that movie again, but it's a roller coaster ride. And shout out to all the people that I went with because they made it incredible. It was like watching a Marvel movie. Yeah, it was like watching a Marvel movie. So there was clapping, there was laughing, there was cheering, and I didn't know what I was watching at the end of the day. And shout out to Jim Carrey. But yeah.
Yeah, I heard Jim Carrey is masterful as like Dr. Robotnik. Like, it's just
totally yes, he him. Is. He's really good. He brings him to life. He's very animated, as we all know.
That's cool. Any other thoughts on Sonic?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, cool. Well, I mean, Sonic fans are winning, and Xenoblade fans are winning. This is the most
non-Nintendo thing ever.
Yeah, non-Nintendo thing I've ever fucking seen in my life. I can't even believe it was Nintendo who did it. But I think this was yesterday. Nintendo announced that Xenoblade Chronicles 3 will be released this coming July. Now, if you don't know why that's kind of a big deal, it was originally slated to come out in September.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo moved up the release date by 2 months. That's pretty crazy if you ask
me.
Oh, you think they had to move it out of the way of something?
That's my theory.
They're like, oh, we got to move it up because Zelda's coming out in the spring, so we can't move it back. I see you, Nintendo. I see you. But yeah, I think that's really interesting. I wonder what made them think that the game was gonna needed to be pushed to September, and then why even revert that decision and move it back up to July. Thought that was interesting. What are your thoughts? I don't know if you're a Xenoblade fan. They have a huge fan base, but I think this is cool. I think they should be happy. What are your thoughts?
I think the same. I think Xenoblade fans tend to be the lucky ones because they get everything that they want, and I feel like the percentage of them, it's a lot of them. Don't get me wrong. If you're a Xenoblade fan, I see you, I hear you, but I feel like the percentage of y'all are smaller than like the rest of us. At least in the States, like, I feel like we're not, you don't hear about Xenoblade a lot as much as you probably would if you were to travel. I think it's different countries and stuff.
Yep.
They're here in the States, but I just don't hear about them. We're more of like Smash people, Zelda people, and like Pokemon people here. I'm happy for them because they get whatever they want, whenever they want. Even if it's a Smash character, they get whatever they want, whenever they want. But personally, I think something's coming. I think they got something up their sleeve and they're going to show us in June. What do you think?
I don't know. That's interesting. You got me thinking now.
I think something's up. I got that. It's just a little weird. They don't do that.
I think it's weird. Yeah. They don't do that. No one does that. Like, not even they don't do that. No one does that. And if you think anybody would, Nintendo would be the last ones on the list
to do it. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So yeah, I think it's interesting. I think I'm thinking about that. What they got up their sleeve now, you know?
If it's not them, it's someone else. It's like, if it's not them releasing something in September, something's coming out in September that like, they're and if it's got of war.
The way, they're moving it out of the way, you think?
Ooh. Possibly. They all know what's going on.
Yeah, they all know what they're all doing.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a Xenoblade fan. I think it's cool. Getting games sooner? Who the hell doesn't want that?
True.
So yeah, that, and I know this excited a lot of people and kind of just bewildered. Like, I was just bewildered when I saw this. I was like, what the hell?
Everybody was.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Everybody's like, how are they the golden child again?
Yeah, yeah, kind of interesting. But yeah, so shout out to the Xenoblade fans, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all are going to enjoy that come July.
Yeah, happy for y'all. Last but not least, PAX East is happening this weekend. For those of you who have been or haven't been, it's a convention where, like, you know, they mostly discuss video games. You get to play video games with people, compete, et cetera, et cetera. I have a friend that's there and he cried because he got to go back. It's been 2 years since PAX East has happened. Obviously, conventions are coming back in full force.
Mm-hmm.
Like New York Comic Con is happening this year, San Diego Comic Con, Twitch Con, and Anime NYC, and I'm pretty sure Anime and LA and everything like that will happen as well. We couldn't go ourselves, but you know, would you want to go to a PAX East in the future? I've never been, so I don't know what they're about.
Oh yeah, for sure. Next year, for sure. I feel like now, you know, we've been doing the podcast for long enough and just been doing the gaming thing for long enough that I feel like it would have been super beneficial to go to PAX East, meeting a lot of people and, you know, watching a lot of new shows. Like, I watch this podcast, the Iron Lords podcast, on Sundays. And that PAX East. And, you know, like, it'd be really cool to chop it up with some people that I listen to every Sunday. And, you know.
Yeah. Do what even, Danny did.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, exactly, you know. Get the boots to the ground and get meeting people, put faces to names and stuff.
Networking. Yeah.
So I think it would have been really cool from that aspect. And yeah, would love to go next year. It's just a 3-hour drive from New York anyways. It's not a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been on the subway longer than that.
True.
you know, that is what it is. What about you?
Yeah. I have never been to PAX East, but I would love to go for the sake of, like you said, networking, and I love conventions and when they're centered around the things that I enjoy. So video games, anime, it's always great for me.
That's where you get to see cool stuff, you know, like, you know, see these marketing teams go all out and make some cool merch or cool booths and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's great. I'm happy that it's back, and I know the community is happy it's back. So shout out to everyone that went this weekend. I'm sure we'll hear some stuff from PAX East. Mm-hmm. Like, I think The Walking Dead has something. So yeah, exciting, exciting times.
Yeah. Because that, to your point, like, everyone who's there is like super excited to be there. Actually, a good friend of ours, Aziza Brown, she's there doing her thing.
Oh, nice.
She said it's not, the turnout's not crazy. So, that's also good, you know, from a getting to meet people and getting your time in on in certain booths and stuff like that. That's really great. But yeah, shout out to PAX 2023. Let's get those press badges.
We'll see you guys there.
Let's get those media badges, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Nah, no hopefullys. No hopefullys.
We are. Sorry.
We do things. We don't hope for them.
We don't hope for them. We're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Any lingering thoughts? Anything you want to say before we go?
No, I think that's it. I don't have anything. Do you have anything?
Okay, I think this was a good episode.
Yeah.
I think for our first episode back in quite some time. I don't even want to say how long it's been. It's been quite some time. It's
only been like a month, but yeah.
No, it hasn't. It's been definitely been longer than that.
It's only April. Like Women's History Month was last month.
It's an eternity. It was an eternity ago.
It's literally been like only a month. He's exaggerating.
All right. But yeah, no. Glad to be back.
Yeah, same.
Glad to have done an episode. Damn, you are right. It's been almost exactly a month. Glad that we got to do this episode. Talk our shit again. Get back into the flow. I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. I feel like we got to get our talking voices back, you know, like, I feel like my jaw is tired. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not used to talking this much.
Yeah, I'm used to it. Voice acting.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
You got to do what you got to do.
You heard it here first. Look out for her on your next favorite, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Looking
at you, Marvel.
Ooh. All right, yo. That was episode 68 of The Save Point. Crazy. I'm one of your hosts, Mondo, aka Chocolate the Mongoo. And, you know, that's Alyssa Rosa. Always here, always holding it down.
Yep.
Appreciate y'all listening. This episode is not live, so.
We're sorry
about that. And I guess that is a sudden note, too. Not sure when we're going to start recording them live again. The next couple of episodes will more than likely be audio only. So please check back in on your favorite podcast service if you want to listen. And on that note, enjoy your day, afternoon, evening, weekday, weekend, whenever it is that you're listening to this. And leave a review. Let us know what you think. On that note. One.